Maybe I should be reading more sports romances,
They are like, there is just something very homoerotic about sports. So like it's ripe for romance novels. I'm a big
Exactly.
fan.
Right. Heyo, book world. Welcome to the Try Reading Podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel, the book nerd, and you know me, you love me. I'm, your host as always, but enough about me, blah, 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 blah. I'm boring. You really want to hear who the guest is, and I don't blame you. So please welcome the marvelous debut author, KT Hoffman. How are you doing, KT?
I am doing well. I'm really happy to be joining this podcast. It's an honor to be here. So thank you so much for having me.
Of course, thank you. It's an honor to have you on the podcast. And oh my gosh, I'm just obsessed with you and all that you do. And so it was so exciting to have you as a guest and add you to the list of names of amazing people that I get to talk to. So I'm so excited.
You've had quite the lineup of amazing people on this podcast. So it's very cool to
I
be
know.
included.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad. And yeah, the book world has some pretty incredible people. So, well, I'm just so excited to have you here. As I said, and listeners, if you don't know who KT Hoffman is, let me tell you a little bit about him. KT Hoffman is the author of Queer Romance. He is originally from Beaverton, Oregon, and currently lives in Brooklyn, which my born and raised I love. So I so
Amazing.
amazing. And if he isn't writing about trans hope and gay kissing, he's probably white knuckling his way through the ninth inning of the Seattle Mariners game. KT's debut rom-com, The Prospects, will be published by Dial Press in the US and Sphere in the UK on April 9th, 2024. And I couldn't be more excited. I adore this book and I cannot wait for other readers to love it too. Not to mention, The Prospects is an indie next pick for April, as it should be. So, all that to say, I'm so excited to have you here and I'm just so excited to be talking with you today, KT. So, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. Every time I like hear first, it's like so weird to hear your own bio read out loud. And it's every time I hear the like pub date for my book, I'm like, that's like sooner than my milk expires at this point. It's terrifying.
I know. What is it
But
like 2 weeks
yeah, it's like I
or
think it was
three?
3 weeks from
Okay.
Tuesday. So
Yeah.
it's
So just
yeah,
over
now
2 weeks
recording on
now.
the 21st. Yeah, it's really weird. It's really
Wow.
soon.
I can only imagine and all the emotions.
Yep. A lot of emotions, sometimes
Right.
very different, 5 minutes apart from each other. Yes.
Well, I always start the podcast by asking, what are you currently reading?
Yeah, so I will admit that I'm in the middle of drafting my second book right now, and I am a little bit terrible about reading when I am drafting, but I am working on Stars in Your Eyes by Kacen Callender right now, which I
Oh,
actually see behind
yeah.
you, which is very exciting. And then also, I had the pleasure of reading my friend Alicia Thompson's fourth book early. So I am reading that and absolutely loving it. I wish I could read it faster than I'm reading it right now, but that's all right. It's a pleasure to be able to savor both books.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Alicia Thompson's, that's the Catching Feelings or
So, The
the
Art of Catching
Art of
Feelings is
Catching
her,
Feelings.
yes, that's her third book, and it comes out
Oh,
in
okay.
June, which I am like, I am sure if you ask me like other baseball books at any point on this podcast, I'm going to like wax poetic about it. It is one of my favorite books of all time. And then I don't think I'm allowed to say what her fourth book is about,
Yeah, of course.
but it won't be out until next year. And it's
Okay.
like, I'm reading the first draft, which is always like such an honor. And also, like, Alicia's first drafts are so good. It's unfair. I'm like, how is it already something I feel like I could pick up off of a shelf? She's
Wow.
incredible.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's so exciting. And yes, I Stars in Your Eyes is so good. I just talked about it on the last episode, which hasn't released yet, but I listened to the
Amazing.
audiobook and
Okay.
because I heard that it's like a complete like full-on like production and there's like sound
Ooh.
effects and music and like a million different voice actors. So it's like really immersive. But it's
Okay.
such a good book. I loved it so much. And Kacen Callender
That's
never misses. So
Kacen truly never misses. And also that's sort of making me feel like I should switch to audio because that sounds incredible. It's one of those
yeah.
books though where I'm like, I could read it in print and then read it again on
Right.
audio.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
I'll spend the time.
Yeah, exactly. I finished it and I was like, I want to start it again right now.
Yes,
And
exactly.
yeah. Well, I am currently reading your wonderful debut, The Prospects,
Thank you.
and It's so good. I was so lucky to be sent an ARC early, and I have been so excited forever since I saw the marvelous cover. And then, yeah, I've just loved it so much. It's so fun. And it's, yeah, I don't read a lot of sports romances, but if it's a queer romance, then I'm sold. I'm hooked. So it's like, okay, I can bypass the sports. I'm not like a sports person, so, but I love it. It's so fun. Yeah, and I just love how the beginning of each chapter has like the little innings and like the and
Me
just like all
too.
the little baseball homages throughout the story. So it's really, really fun, and I'm loving it so much. And listeners, when you're listening to this, the book will be out in the world, so you must go pick it up and read it. It's so much fun, and
Well,
yeah, I'm loving it. So.
I appreciate that. I'm also like always really honored when people are like who are not big sports people give it a chance. So I really appreciate that. Thank
Of
you.
course. Of course. I know. I was like, maybe I should be reading more sports romances, but
They are like there is just something very homoerotic about sports. So like it's ripe for romance novels. I'm a big
Exactly.
fan.
Right. Well, I just have a couple releases from previous guests that I'm going to shout out. And one is Charlie Thorne and the Royal Society by Stuart Gibbs, which releases on April 23rd. And second is Missing White Women by Kelly Garrett, which releases on April 30th. And I don't pick favorites, but I'm very excited for Missing White Women. It's Kelly writes really wonderful crime fiction, murder mystery thrillers. It's super. Her other books have been like very fast paced and really gripping. And she also includes really interesting topics and thought-provoking subtopics about racism, and it's just like it's really, really wonderful, and her writing's really, really good. So I'm very excited for that. And also on May 3rd and 4th, there is Y'all West, which is in Santa Monica, California. And for the listeners, I mentioned it before, or if you're at anywhere in the book world, BookTok, Bookstagram, you'll probably have heard of it. But it's an amazing book festival for middle grade and YA authors. And there's amazing bookish opportunities, signings, panels, performances, food, and you can meet so many bookish friends. There will even be some authors from the Try Reading podcast at Y'all West, like Camilla Cole, Ann Zhao, Stuart Gibbs, and Angela Montoya, and so many more amazing authors. So if you're in the area, I highly recommend going, and maybe I'll see you there. But yeah, so May 3rd and 4th, stay tuned, and it's going to be so much fun. But those are all the exciting shout outs I have for today. And my first question for you, KT, is have you always loved books and reading?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I do just want to say I'm a little bit jealous that you're going to Y'all West. That sounds incredible. Second, have I always enjoyed books and reading? Yes, always. I have an older sister. She's 4 years older than me, and when she got to go to school, I remember being like very jealous of her and like asking when I was gonna get to go to school. I think just because that's like the plight of the younger sibling to want
Right.
to do whatever your older sibling is doing. But she would come home from school and like teach me the things she was learning at school. So by the time I got to like first grade, she had already like taught me fractions.
Oh,
She's a teacher now, very
that is so
fittingly.
sweet.
So I really lucked out there. But the result of that is that like I was really excited to learn how to read, and that has always been. Everyone in my family reads quite a bit, and so I feel very lucky to have been raised in a house that really loved reading and prioritized it. And so having like made it kind of my life now feels very natural.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I have a younger sister, and so I can totally relate to that, like the little sibling wanting to follow in the older sibling's footsteps.
it.
I mean, she's in third grade, but she's already like, oh, I'm going to go to the same college as you. And I was like, well, you have lots of time to decide. So clearly, you always had a love for reading. Like you said, it was, you know, in your home, you were surrounded by, you know, people who loved to read and who appreciated books. So, did you always want to be an author, or did that come later on?
I think I always wanted to write because I've been doing it really my whole life. I say whole life. That's always an exaggeration. It's not like I was like 1 year old, right? Like writing. But like I used to write like little stories and staple them together in like elementary school. I think a lot of people did that. And I did always want to write, and I knew I always wanted to write books. Like I've never really been a poet. I Still cannot write a short story to save my life. People who can write short stories amaze me. It's not me. But I don't think I considered myself someone who wanted to be an author because it didn't seem possible to me. Both because when I was really little, authors felt like celebrities to me. I was in middle school right when Percy Jackson was like first a
Oh,
really
wow.
big thing. And I got to meet Rick Riordan and he like signed my copies of all the books. And it was like, you would think I was meeting a movie star. Like you see all the pictures, I'm like cheesing it. It was so cool to me. So authors both felt really like in another world to me. And now obviously I know like authors are kind of just sitting at home in sweats and like we are not cool. But also then growing up queer, even before I like knew I was queer, and particularly growing up trans, those were not really books that when I was a teenager, those weren't really on shelves very much. So the sorts of stories that I gravitated towards were not the sorts of stories that I saw. And so in my head, I was like, well, I can write them. It's not that they felt impossible to write or anything. It just didn't feel like something that people would like print in a book. So the idea of becoming an author, I think this is something that a lot of marginalized people of all kinds can probably relate to. The idea of like someone seeing something I wrote and being like, not only do I like think it's well written enough to publish it, I also think the topic is worthy of printing it and selling it and going through the very long process of publishing a book. It was not something that occurred to me or felt possible. So being an author wasn't really ever my goal, but I've always written.
Well, I love that. And now here you are publishing your debut. And
Very weird.
I can imagine. And I can totally relate to that feeling of like authors feeling like celebrities. I mean, that was always like that was for me that was my Hollywood as a younger kid. And now I know like if I were to tell my younger self that I could be talking with all these people, it would be really cool. But yeah, it is true. It's like when you do get to know them, it's like, oh yeah, they're also, just like me. And but they're always super cool. And so I know you said they're not that cool. To me, they're still amazing. And so
I mean,
but
I think they're cool. Like a lot of my friends are authors, and I think they're the coolest people on the planet. But I'm like, we're not cool like a, I don't know, like we're not musicians. Like we're not like working a crowd or anything. We're all just like sweating through our sweaters, kind
Hey,
of.
well, you tell that to a fan of, a room of like 10,000 people when they love the prospects and you walk in. So, I mean,
I would love if there was like 10 people. That would feel really cool to me.
well,
And I like didn't know one of them.
there's going to be so many, I guarantee it. And I mean, yeah, I heard about the book from word of mouth on book social media and not from an
Wow.
author, from interested readers. So it's so exciting to see all these people excited for it. And yeah, but I do love that that point you made about how obviously you weren't seeing the stories that you wanted to tell or that represented you. And now here you are getting to tell those stories. And thankfully, with time, there's more and more diversity in publishing. But that sort of perfectly leads me into my next question, which is knowing your book has a trans main character and it's a queer relationship. Can you remember the first romance book that you read that had either trans representation or just LGBTQIA plus representation in general?
Yeah, I can remember both, actually. They're two separate books. The first, so I didn't grow up a huge romance reader. But the first like queer romance I remember reading, as I think is probably the case for a lot of people, is Red, White, and Royal Blue. And I like when I don't remember how I heard about that book. I'm sure it was just because everybody was talking about it in 2019. But when I went to buy it, I like looked in the YA section because I didn't know that there was like it didn't even occur to me that there could be a book that was being marketed as like a happy gay romance that
Right.
wasn't for teenagers. Like, that was wild. That had like not never occurred to me. I didn't think that was something that anyone would publish. So realizing it was in the adult section was like, it still felt wild to me to have those books in YA at the time. So that was really cool. It was like a huge moment to read that book and realize like we were getting to a point where we could tell these hopeful stories about queer characters who are out of high school,
Yeah.
because I came out in college and I was like, I don't know, realizing that queer life continues on is real, like really cool, because high school was rough for me. Like, high school was
Yeah.
hard. And it was cool to see stories that showed like that we still get to keep living our lives and shaping them ourselves. And I don't know, that book was a huge, that reading that book was a huge moment for me. And then the first book I got to read, first romance I got to read with a trans main character, was Love and Other Disasters by Anita Kelly. And I met Anita right around when I was revising this book, and I got to read that. It came out, that book came out right before I, so I did Pitch Wars, which was a mentorship program that no longer exists. But towards the end of the program, Anita's book came out, and I was trying to decide whether I wanted to query my book and try to get it published. And I wasn't sure because it felt really scary. And I
Right.
had never read a book with a trans character, like a romance with a trans character. And obviously, the character in Love and Other Disasters is non-binary. So telling a different story than I'm telling with Jean, but it was like magical to get to read that book. And the tenderness that Anita writes with, they are like unparalleled to me. Like, they are incredible. And I'm really lucky to now know them. And I don't know, that book, I think, is the reason that I decided to put my writing out there. And I've like told Anita that, but I don't know if they like, I don't know if they fully know what a difference they have made to so many people. That book
I
was a
love
huge deal.
that. I love that. I love both of those answers. And yeah, that's so wonderful. And also, just confirming, not to mention, you've had now both Casey McQuiston and Anita Kelly love your book, which is so exciting.
It was
And
like very special to have some of my, like, everyone who blurbed this book is one of my favorite authors. Like, we got to sit down and make like a dream list of people we wanted to send it to. And I was really lucky that those people all were like, yeah, send it to me. And like, read it,
right.
because I love all of their writing so much. And it still kind of blows my mind every time I
Right.
like look at my book.
That's so exciting. And yeah, I love that. And I love that. Yeah, just that their books were those entry points. And now
Yeah.
here they are. Their names are in your book.
It's, I know, I'm like,
And
ugh, I've made it. Like, my favorite authors have like acknowledged my book exists. That's so cool.
yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, going back a bit, when you sat down to write this novel, was contemporary romance or was, a rom-com the first genre that came to mind?
No. I think I wrote this, I think I always knew I wanted there to be a romance in it. Like, the book was always, Gene was always the main character, and it was about him and Luis, and their like relationship was always at the center of it. But I don't think I really knew how to write a romance novel. So in my, I think it was kind of just a book about baseball that had a big romance subplot in it. And then I got to do this mentorship program, and I worked with two romance authors, Ruby Barrett and Rosie Dannon, who are both incredible, both as people and as authors. And they really taught me like what sets a romance apart from a book with a romance subplot. Like, what is a romance novel and what makes it work, and how, not just what beats do you have to hit, but like, what are the building blocks that go into making something a romance? How much are we seeing of the characters on the page together? Like, I think one of the biggest edits they had me make was Luis was in like 40% of the book before, because he's not our like point of view character. And Jean had a lot more scenes that Luis was not in. And when we edited it, we got to be like, let's just put Luis in almost every scene, because this is like, it's a romance novel and we need to see like them fall in love with each other. And
Right.
that was A, the most fun edit to ever get. I was like, oh yes, please. And also just it gave me a lot of appreciation for what makes a romance work. It's not just, you can't just say, I'm gonna have two people fall in love in this book and then it's a romance. There are like not just expectations, but like there's real craft that goes into writing a good romance novel. And I have so much more appreciation for how hard that is now than I did when I started writing this book.
Yeah, that's so wonderful and really cool to just hear the transformation that this book went through. Yeah, and oh my gosh, that must have been a fun edit as well.
Yeah,
And
for
it's
sure.
like, right. And yeah, just like, oh my gosh, more like, who wouldn't want to add more kissing and more like
Right?
connection between the love interest and the main
Right?
character? Like, right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, that's so much fun. And as we were saying earlier, you know, now here we are, just a little over 2 weeks away from the release. And so, could you share with the listeners a little bit about what the prospects is about, or whether you want it to be like your elevator pitch, or however you want to share?
I would say like the one sentence, what is this book about? It is about Gene Ionescu, who is the first trans professional baseball player, and he plays in the minor leagues, and his former college teammate, current like quote unquote rival, gets traded to his team, and they have to figure out how to work together again, and they end up like rediscovering their friendship and falling in love. But to me, like, what is the book about? Like, that's the concept, but the book is about, to me, like learning how to let yourself want really big things that don't necessarily feel possible or feel like they were made for you. And how do you make space and allow yourself to believe that you deserve those big dreams? Even if you don't know that they're going to work out, how do you just let yourself try and believe that
Yeah.
it's possible? That's like what it's about to me.
I love that. That's so wonderful. And yeah, I'd love this, you know, one sentence pitch, but also, yeah, how it connects with you as well as the writer. And
Sure.
yeah, well, I do have to ask, what was the inspiration for the prospects?
I used to be a historical fiction author, mostly. I say author. I mean, okay, I think anyone who writes a book is an author. I do not think you need to be published to be an
Right.
author in any way. So I shouldn't be so dismissive of the books that I wrote before this one. I used to be a historical fiction author, and I was working on a book that took place kind of like mid 20th century, and one of the characters played baseball, and it was a really small part of his character. But there was one scene that took place at a baseball game, and I like went through so much revision, and you do so much research for historical fiction. So I was like 2 hours of research, like when did sugar packets become more common than sugar cubes? Like that kind of like weird niche research. But then I got three drafts into this book and realized I don't really know how baseball works. Like I had written these scenes, I was like, I can tell, even as someone who doesn't follow baseball, I could tell that like they did not make sense. And someone who didn't follow baseball had written them.
Right.
So the summer after I graduated from college, I decided to start watching baseball so that I could just kind of get a feel for it and fix those scenes. And then I had just graduated college, which maybe you kind of get this having being about to graduate high school. It's a really weird moment. Like
Yeah.
your life is changing in this
Right.
huge way. And I think there's that moment after high school, and then there's that also that moment after undergrad, if you don't go to grad school, which I wasn't at the time, where it's like, oh, the like path that has been laid out for me has like run out, and now I have to decide like what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
Whether that's what school you want to go to or what you want to do after you graduate, whatever it is. It's a really big moment, and I was also had just like started to realize that I was trans, which was really overwhelming, and it was a lot of change to be going through all at the same time. And so it was kind of the perfect moment to start watching baseball and like have something to cling to. Every
Right.
baseball plays almost every day. You play a season, a major league baseball season is 162 games.
Wow.
over, it's a lot of games. So they played
Yeah.
almost every day, and it was like a routine I could get into and something I could like ground myself in. And I just really ended up falling in love with the sport and how strange it is and how slow it can be, and but also how exciting the big moments feel. And
Yeah.
I realized like I needed to set aside the book I had been working on because I had been working on it for so long. And sometimes when you like work on one book for 3 years and you know it's not ready, but you also don't know how like what to do with it, you just have to set it aside for a while. So I set it aside and decided to, I was like, what if I wrote something about baseball? And baseball is also this sport that it's like, I talk about this in the first page a little bit of this book, where like you can be successful in baseball and look sort of anyway. You can be like, there is one of the best like second basemen playing in baseball right now is 5'6". And like he's very small. He looks tiny next to all of his teammates. But then like the team I watch, one of the best pitchers is 6'5".
Right.
Like there's a huge range of body types who can succeed at this sport, and I think that's really unique and was really exciting to me. And as I was coming out as trans, I was like, oh, if there was gonna be a trans man who like played a team sport professionally, it kind of makes sense that it would be baseball, because I
Right.
think you can like be, I mean, trans men can be shaped a billion different ways because that's how humans work. But like if I wanted to write about a trans man who like me is very short, I think it would be baseball. And
Right.
so I was like, I just started writing about that, and it was kind of a blast to write. Like I had more fun writing this book than I think I've ever had writing anything else.
That's so much fun. And I love that, like, it turned into this sort of like, it was at first, it's like, oh, I'm just going to watch a few games to kind of see how it works. And now it's like, this is like, full 360. And that's so exciting. And do you think you'd ever like return to that idea of that you had with that historical or?
I hope so. I love that book. But it is historical fiction, and it's like not a romance, but I wouldn't call it a romance novel. I think it's a historical fiction that has like romance in it, and it would be a
Right.
huge change to me, because historical fiction novels can be so much longer than a romance novel, and it was very long, and it was very like, I mean, I say really long. It wasn't like 200,000 words or anything,
Right.
like, but it was longer and it was more like research forward than I would say most romance novels are. I mean, I say that and then I immediately can think of like a bunch of historical romance authors who are like incredible researchers. So like maybe don't listen to me, but it wasn't really a romance novel, and so it would be kind of a genre pivot. I hope I get to return to it someday and like maybe publish it, but it would probably be a different vibe than the books I'm writing right now.
Less kissing, less romance. Yeah.
I mean, there's still quite a bit of kissing in it. So, like, I feel like people who have read my writing would probably not be like shocked to read that book. Like, it still very much fits within the scope of the sorts of things that I write. Like, I've always wanted to write queer stories and like queer people getting to do cool things in spaces that we don't always get to, like, we don't always think of queer people existing in. But that's different in like the 40s and 50s than it is in the 2020s, you know?
Well, what was writing? I mean, I know you said, you had so much fun with this draft and the first draft and writing the book in general. But specifically with the first draft, what was that experience like writing it?
It's weird because I don't even know that there was like one first draft of this book. Because at first I was like, the first half of the book takes place in college, and then the second half takes place when they're like adults. And there's gonna be like a time skip in the middle, and that's just not great structure for like, it also would have been really long, and that's a big change. And then for a while I was like, okay, it's just gonna be in the minor leagues and it's gonna be in the 60s. And I was like, no, Gene's life would be like really hard in the 60s. I don't want to write that. And so then I put it in the 90s, and I was like, no, I don't think that's right either. And it went through so many versions where I would write like somewhere between 2 and 10 chapters and then realize like there's something fundamentally like wrong here. So the first like full draft I wrote, though, I wrote in like 3 weeks, and it was a terrible hot mess. And I think I only sent the the full draft of that to like one person. And I really, really hope they never read it. It was so bad. Like, it was really, really bad. But it also was really cool to finally finish it, something that I had been like trying to do for a while in a different genre than I had been writing in, and like writing about something that I am so passionate about. Because I don't know if you guys could see the version of this book before my editor made me cut the half the baseball. Like, Katie was very right to have me cut as much baseball as I did, but like getting to write about baseball games and like queer people in baseball games was so much fun. And I think that's like why I could write it in 3 weeks, even though that draft was really bad. And I like hope no one ever sees it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it was like one part baseball manual, one part romance novel.
Exactly.
So.
It's like me being like, look how much research I did. Like, which is not a good way to write a book.
Right,
But
well,
like,
you're making up for the baseball research from the historical.
exactly. I'm like, look, I got better.
Right, I can do this, guys, I promise.
Yes,
Yeah.
I swear, I know what I'm talking about. And everyone's like, I don't care. Please stop.
Well, hey, you know what? We'll just have to make this like a whole like brand, make this a brand, and then you publish like a
Perfect.
baseball manual in the theme of the prospects.
That would be so much fun. I would love. I have doing one of my events for this book is with Alicia Thompson,
Yeah.
and she's also like a huge baseball fan, and we're always joking that we're like, we're just gonna sit there for an hour and like make everyone watch clips of our favorite plays, and they're all gonna be
Right.
like, we're gonna be like, you're locked in here with us. Like, you will watch this. I promise we won't do that to anyone
Right.
who's waiting to come to the
Wink,
event in
wink,
Brooklyn.
guys. Yeah.
We will not do that.
Right. No discussion, just baseball clips,
Just
highlights.
baseball clips. We need like a projector.
Right. Yeah. Well, I love that it was a good process and you had fun with it. And yeah. And, you know, it's really nice to hear this sort of like behind the scenes of how it's changed throughout this, you know, this journey.
Yeah.
And, another aspect of the book that I love, aside from the wonderful story inside, is the gorgeous cover on the front. And it's so stunning. I love the scene, the characters. I love the color, the sky behind them. Everything about it is so much fun. So, did you have any say during the cover process?
First, I want to say I love when people compliment the cover because I can bear no responsibility for how nice it looks because I am not an artist. So I get to just take the compliment and be like, right, it's gorgeous. I don't feel like shy about it.
Right.
I am really lucky that I did get to be involved in the process. And so part of that is like my editor, Katie at Dial, is really wonderful about making sure her authors, like, because she edits a lot of authors of color and queer authors and people who are both. And so she knows how important it is that her authors like feel like their stories and their characters are being like represented on the cover in a way that feels authentic to who they are. Because I don't know, there's a lot of like romance about gay men where the cover will like have a very idealized picture of like what a gay man looks like. It was really important to me that like Jean is very short and like Luis is quite thin, and I really like wanted them to be represented and their body types to be represented in a way on the cover that was authentic to what they look like, just because queer people can look all sorts of ways. And it was really important to me that they like that be shown. And also like Luis is Latino and I did not want him to like look white on the cover.
Right.
Jean is like trans. I don't want him to look like a cis person, but I also don't want him to look like a caricature of transness. And
Yeah.
that's a really like delicate needle to thread. And I feel really grateful that they let me be involved in that. So like I got to send this like I like sent Katie, poor Katie, like a 7-page document being like, here's all the things I like in covers. Here's all the things I don't like. I really like covers with detailed art styles and like eye-catching colors and like bold text. Because I am a big like book design nerd. I love the physical object of like a well-designed book.
Right.
So I got to send that, and then they sent me like some artists they were considering. I really appreciated. I had said that I really wanted to work with a queer artist on this cover because, I don't know. I think it's really cool when you like, I'm getting published and I don't have like I'm a debut author, so I don't have like a ton of pull. But if I can get another queer artist a job working on this cover, that means something to me. And like to celebrate our community in that way is really cool to me. And so they sent me a few artist options, and I got to like have my input, and it ended up being really cool that the artist who did the cover, their name is Alex Mendoza. They're incredible. They had actually drawn Jean and Luis one time, like 3 years, I don't know, like in around 2020. I had commissioned them to draw
Wow.
Jean and Luis, so it was really cool to like see that full circle moment where I was like, oh, this is
Yeah.
an artist I've worked with before, and like I've been aware of their art for so long, and so it's very special to get to see that on the cover. And just to have an artist who was like conscious of all those things that I already said, like I was really worried that they were going to look a certain way on the cover, to have another queer artist and like who cared about those things working on the cover was really special. I'm sure my cover designer would love if I was less opinionated, but they were really lovely about letting me like have some input into it.
That's so wonderful. I love that full circle moment, first of all. And I love that you had so much say in it. And I mean, in general, accurate representation is so important, and especially on a cover with the characters on the cover. And so for you as the writer of this story to be able to receive that is so wonderful. And it's really so gorgeous, and I love looking at it. And like every time I'm like reading that, I just have to like flip back because I'm like, wow, this is stunning.
I'm just gonna stare. My like finished copies got here this
Oh
week,
yeah,
and
I saw you post about.
I like just I'm trying to write my second book, and I had to like hide my like little stack of copies because I'm like, I can't just keep getting distracted and like
Right.
staring at my book. I need to write something. But they are really beautiful, and like I cannot take any credit for that. They're just gorgeous. They did a lovely job.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. And well, knowing that, I mean, like you were saying, you just got your finished copies and it's coming out soon. What are you most excited for when the prospects releases?
I mean, okay. I am really excited to stop being like jump scared every time I see a date that's like after April 9th and being like, oh, like this appointment that I just like scheduled is after my book comes out. That's terrifying or whatever. But more seriously, I think I didn't realize before publishing this book how many people, like obviously I knew like an author has an agent, an author has an editor. I interned in publishing for like a whole 5 minutes or something when I was 21. And I thought I was aware of how much effort goes into putting a book out, and I was not. Like the number of people who have been involved in this process, and I know like those people work on a lot of books, so I'm not saying like they're all waiting for this book to come out. Just like, I think something that's really cool is that writing can feel really solitary when you're just doing it in your room. It can feel really lonely when no one has read it yet, and it can feel like you're just kind of writing into like the empty void of your computer. And then to realize like as the book is coming out, the sheer number of people who had to decide that they like cared enough about books, even if they didn't sign up for my book specifically, like they cared enough about bringing books out into the world that they like, that's their life. That's what they chose to do. And I feel like when the book comes out, it's almost like it's not just a moment for me. It's like a moment for this, like these dozens of people in publishing and like not in my friends who have supported me or like the people who blurbed my book. All those people have given time and effort into this book more than I ever thought anyone would care about it. And that is really special to me. And I'm like excited for the book to be out and to get to share that moment with like a group of people I never imagined having. Like, that's really special to me. And I'm really grateful that enough people were like, yes, I will devote hours, if not weeks of my life, if not years, to making this like gay baseball romance be on shelf. That's so cool to me. Like, I don't know. That's
Yeah,
wild.
absolutely. And this is something that is going to be brought up a tiny bit later, but I'll mention it now. Like, some also a story that is very pivotal in traditional publishing, and something that has not been seen often or has not been seen. And so to be one of these like beginning stories is so exciting. And so exciting for, for readers who are going to feel represented and seen, and then of course for you as the author. So, but that's such a wonderful thing to be looking forward to, and I can only imagine how exciting it's going to be. And yeah, well, I can't wait, and I can't wait to be shouting about it from this, so void of
Thank
social
you.
media. And
Well, apparently you heard about it on social media, which always kind of
yeah.
blows my mind when people are like, oh yeah, I just like saw someone talking about it. Like, whoa, that's
Yeah,
crazy.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, do you have a favorite character in the prospects?
This is like asking me to pick between my children. I think the easiest answer is like Gene, just because he was the first character who like felt real to me, because he's the point of view character. Like, it'd be really hard to write it if he didn't feel like real. But I think I have a real soft spot for Luis. Like, I think obviously identity wise I relate more to Jean. I am also a gay trans man, but who also like really struggles to believe in myself enough to try for big things. So I obviously relate to him. But like, Luis is much quieter and he like struggles a lot with anxiety, which I also do. And I don't know. I really love Luis, and I think he maybe doesn't like, because he's not a point of view character, I think sometimes he doesn't get as much like appreciation as Gene, so I feel very protective of him. I also think he's like quietly very funny in a way that Gene is like much more loud about it. And I always like quietly funny people. Like, I don't know if you ever have had classes where you like sat next to the person who almost never talks, and then they like open their mouth once and it's very funny. Like, whatever they say is very funny. I've just always really liked people who are quietly very funny or very thoughtful. And I think Luis is both of those things. And I think that I think I gotta go with my boy Luis. He's my favorite.
I love that. And yeah, and I mean, they really are your children. I mean, they have all these little aspects of you. And yeah, no, but I love that answer. And another favorites question, do you have a favorite baseball team?
Some people are like really big baseball fans. Like, they love just like, I mean, I do love the game. Obviously, I love the game. But I'm from Oregon. I live in Brooklyn now, but I'm from Oregon, and there's only one baseball team in the entire Pacific Northwest, and it's the Mariners. Like, so I had a fourth grade teacher who was really like very obsessed with the Mariners. And then I never thought about it because I didn't grow up watching baseball at all. I liked soccer. And then when I decided to start watching baseball, I only watched the Mariners, and now I am like a diehard Mariners fan. Like, I love them. I think that they are a likable team, and they are like just good enough that that it's like not always depressing to root for them. But they're not like the like Dodgers, who are always really good, you know? They feel like an underdog, and I think it's fun to root for an underdog. I love the Mariners.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great answer. Well, if you could turn the prospects into anything other than a movie or a TV show, what would that be?
I love this question.
I can't take credit for
Like, it's such a
it.
good question. I think I might have to go with a graphic novel, which is maybe like, I don't know if a lot of people say that, but baseball is very visual. and it's very like beautiful. And I think there's like a movement to it that is would be really fun to portray in a graphic novel. I also just love graphic novels, and I
Right.
think like they are incredible. My best friend and roommate is a visual artist, so I know like how much work goes into it. And I think it's a
Yeah.
level of collaboration and artistry that is actually quite similar to baseball. Also, I tend to write a lot of dialogue. Like they talk a lot, and I think that that would be fun in a graphic
Right.
novel. So,
Yeah. Oh,
what
I
graphic
love
novel?
that. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely been some graphic novel answers, but I mean, this answer allows for endless creativity. So I love that. And yeah, it's, oh my gosh, that would be so fun to see. So hey, manifesting that and fingers crossed, because that would be so exciting. And publishing, if you're listening, just putting that out there.
I could try to learn how to write a graphic novel script. I have no idea how one does that, but
Hey, you have dialogue in your belt, so it's like then you're halfway there.
and at one point I didn't know how to write a novel, and I'm still not
Right.
100% sure that I know how to write a novel now. So
Well, I could definitely see that happening, and you have great artists you've commissioned, and you've been posting some amazing art. So, I mean, you've kind of got all these components.
if you see art on my Instagram, that is the said roommate and best friend drew
Oh.
it.
Oh
She's
my
so
gosh.
talented. I
Wow.
know. Yeah. Her name is Sarah Carenti. She is easily findable on Instagram if anyone wants to look her up. I
Yeah.
think her handle is Queerenti.
Okay.
But she's very, very talented. I have to plug how amazing she is.
Absolutely. Oh
Very
my
spoiled.
gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. Well, I mean, hey, author and graphic novel artist duo right
Right.
there.
Like, Sarah, do you want to learn how to draw a graphic novel?
Well, what would your advice be to any aspiring authors?
Yeah. I think there's so okay. There are so many ways to be an aspiring author, and I think my main advice is to like, this is gonna sound really lame, but like write. Like, I don't know. I think it's really easy to get bogged down in wondering what's going to happen with your book. And I think that if I had written this book being really worried, like, is this going to get published? I don't think I would have written it. Like, I think I would have t made a lot of safer choices.
Yeah.
Because when I was writing it, like, trans romances weren't really on the shelf at all. So I think I would have made a lot of different choices, and it wouldn't have been the book I wanted it to be. And now it is like the exact book I wanted it to be. And that's, I literally think that only happened because I wasn't trying to get it published. I was just trying to write something that I loved. And then my other, like, the thing I like to say, and I hope people like take this as sincerely as I mean it, is like, I think you should be in love with your characters. And that doesn't mean like you have to write like really nice characters, but like you should love spending time with them in some
Yeah.
way. I don't know. I like love just doing normal things and thinking like, I wonder what Gene and Luis are doing right now, or like this like really weird thing just happened in this restaurant I'm sitting in. I wonder how my characters would react to that. Like,
Yeah.
I think it's fun and it makes them feel really human, and like it makes it so that when you sit down to write, it feels like you're like hanging out with friends, which
Right.
feels less pressureful than like I'm writing a book that maybe people will read someday.
Yeah.
Like, it's harder. So even if I don't think every minute of writing a book is ever fun. There are parts that are fun and there are parts that are really hard, and I don't want to lie about that and be like, you should find the joy in it. But like, if no part of it is joyful, then like, what can you change to make it be something that you're enjoying, at least
Yeah.
the core of?
Yeah.
That's
I
my,
love that. Those are
yeah.
two wonderful pieces of advice. Just write and love your characters. And
Yeah.
yeah. And yeah, I love characters are so fun. I think I am some I, you know, aspire to write and publish
Yeah.
stories, and I love like the idea coming up with the ideas and like the then like the oh my gosh, well then there's this and this, and then for me it's the characters. But once I have a character that I really love, then I can't stop thinking about them. And you're right, it is the best feeling. And yeah, so I love that advice.
It feels like almost magical when that,
Right.
like, when the click happens and you're like, oh, I'm like obsessed with that. Okay, so I grew up on fan fiction,
Oh
which I
yeah.
think like a lot of people did. But like the beauty of fan fiction to me is that you have like a small handful of characters who you just like put in situations. And like
Right.
I love thinking of characters as just like little people who I'm putting in
Yeah.
situations.
Yeah.
To the point that like sometimes when I'm writing scenes, I'm like, I almost feel like I'm writing fan fiction of my own characters. And that's like, I don't know, that's really, it's a cool moment. And I think when that click happens is like really special.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you cannot convince me they're not real. Argue with the wall. Yeah.
Like for real. Like,
Yeah.
no, if they weren't real, I wouldn't have devoted years of my life
Right.
to thinking about them.
Yeah, what do you mean, Gene? Oh yeah, he lives down the street. Yeah.
Like literally, Gina's over in Gowanus. Like we're
Right.
basically neighbors.
Well, on the topic of advice, what would be your advice to a younger version of yourself?
I wish a younger version of myself had like worried a little bit less about what I was supposed to be doing and worried a little bit more about what I wanted to be doing. Because I think I didn't even start thinking about that until I was like out of college. I was just doing like, what's the thing that I could do that would like, when I tell my parents or when I tell like my high school English teacher or whatever, they will like think it's impressive or be proud of me. And I never really thought like, what could I do that I would be proud of? And like, I wish I had started thinking about that earlier. Obviously, I can't go back now, and I'm glad like it's still something that I work on now, but like I think it's important to think what matters to you and what is the thing that when you wake up in the morning you're going to be excited about. That's what you should be focused on,
I
because you
love
have to
that.
spend all your time with you.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's great advice. I mean, for your younger self, but also for anyone else who
Yeah.
feels that way. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking. I hadn't really
Of
thought about
course.
it. So
Well,
thank
I'm
you.
glad I could help. Yeah. One thing that's really both interesting and exciting is the fact that we are seeing more and more LGBTQ plus representation in publishing in general. But then when you look really closely, there's often these like specific umbrellas where it's this aspect of a character or this aspect of a story being published for the first time. And so in the arc, there's a reader's note and or not a reader's, there's a letter from someone in publishing, but then there's also your notes. But from the one from publishing, it was just raving about the book, of course, and then also talking about how it is the first romance novel with a trans gay main character written by a trans gay author from a major publishing house, which is super exciting, and that's so major, and it's opening it's this new path, which is so exciting. So for you, how does it feel knowing your book is paving such a strong path?
Yeah, I do love thinking about it as like we get so many firsts because there are so many ways to be queer. This isn't the first book about a trans man. It's not the first like book by a trans man. It's just like there is a specific niche that we had not gotten to yet. It's a little bit baseball-y because baseball loves to like find really niche stats to be like, this is the first time a player has gotten this many hits in this specific number of games in August or like whatever. It's very funny. But that doesn't negate that it like there are not a lot of books about trans people, and there are especially not a lot of books like romance novels about trans people. And then on top of that, having one that is like gay and a trans man written by a gay trans man is new. And I think it's especially interesting in romance because, like, I'm the first person in my family who's ever come out as queer in any way. And so, like, queer happiness is not something I saw growing up. And like transness was so often like I wasn't aware that trans men existed until I was in college. And like, so that wasn't even something I knew I could be because I didn't know anyone could be it. And then once I knew that those like that people like me existed, there weren't really books that were showing trans men or like trans people to be like lovable or like human. We were just shown as kind of like tragedies or objects of derision or like sites of violence enacted by cis people. And it was, I think, to have trans people in publishing, like in publishing romance, is really unique because it shows that we can like have this human experience of like love and joy, even amidst things that are really hard. And like that means a lot to me. It is also always really scary to do something that like is not common. And I think like this was not intentional, but like that is something that Gene talks about in this book. And he's like the first trans player. And he says, someone at one point says, like, oh, well, you always wanted to be the first trans player. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly word for word, but he says, like, I didn't want to be the first one. I wanted to be a trans man playing baseball. And that is sort of how I feel about being like really early in publishing a trans romance, where I'm like, well, ideally, I would like there to be a bunch of them. Like, I also think like we are really lacking in like trans feminine people in romance, both authors and stories. And I think that's really unfortunate and I hope is changing in the next few years. But when you're a marginalized person and you're doing something that's kind of new, there's a lot of pressure to like do it really well and like never mess up and like don't fail. And the book has to do well because if it does poorly, like, does that reflect poorly on trans books as a concept in a way that, like, for cis people, if a cis book doesn't sell very well, people don't go, like, oh, well, books about cis people don't sell then. So we just won't publish anymore.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of pressure, but it's also like I am really excited that it's happening. And there are so many people who have done things like, to make this movement possible for me. Like the book is dedicated to Glenn Burke, who was the first, like, he's often considered the first openly gay baseball player. He was not out to the media, but he was out to his whole team. And when he was done playing, he was publicly gay. And also to Lou Sullivan, who was widely considered, although, like, obviously Glenn Burke was not the first gay baseball player. Like there have been gay baseball players as long as there have been baseball players. And like Lou Sullivan was the first openly gay transgender man because historically you were not allowed to transition medically if you expressed any kind of like what would be same-sex attraction because it was considered like, oh, that's a separate thing. You could only transition to like basically make yourself straight. So he was like a trailblazer in that way. And I like to think like, my life wouldn't be possible without the things that they did. And it was probably like anytime someone has to do something first, it's scary. And I don't think like there are indie published trans romances. Those have existed forever. I'm not the first trans man to write a romance novel. And I'm really grateful to all the trans men who were writing those books before. I'm grateful to trans people who are not trans men who are writing those books. And I'm really grateful to the people who decided like, no, we want this book to reach a wide audience. And we're gonna take a risk and we're gonna try it. And it can be really scary, but it's also really cool. And I've gotten messages from people who have said, like, I never got to read a book, a romance novel about a character like me. This was really special for me. And I'm like, I get that, because I also don't get to read romance novels about people like me. And that is special and I don't take it lightly. And also separately, I'm really grateful to all the people who are like doing the work, making it possible that these books can exist, not just mine, other ones too.
I absolutely love that fabulous answer. Wow, what a beautiful answer. And what a wonderful way to end the episode. I mean, I loved all of your stories and all of your answers, but that was so wonderful. And Katie, I just want to thank you for taking the time to be on the Try Reading podcast today. It was an honor to talk with you.
Thank you. It was a joy to be here. I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so
Of
much.
course. Oh my gosh, of course. It's my pleasure. And yeah, I just had so much fun. Where can the listeners find you?
Okay, I have a website, katiehoffmanwrites.com, and also I am on Instagram at Squash Goblin, which is not a professional handle at all, but you know, that's okay. It feels true to who I am.
Right. Professional. Who needs that? Yeah.
Right?
Let's have more fun then. Be professional.
Absolutely.
Well, everybody go find KT and follow him and check out his website. And yeah, because you just need to know more about him and his book. And I mean, if you are not already excited, then what are you doing? I mean, what was the point of listening to this episode? You should be excited by now. You should have pre-ordered, requested at your library, all of the above. But do you have anything upcoming or current that you want to shout out or promote?
Well, I don't know when this episode is coming out.
It will be just 10 days after debut day.
Okay. So I think both my events, my in-person events, will be over by then, but I plan to have a virtual event with Vintage Books in Vancouver, Washington, and that will be in May. So hopefully events will be posted by the time this, or details will be posted by the time this episode comes out. So if people want to join for that, then that will be awesome.
Yeah, and actually, I have something
Ooh.
for you. No, I mean
Please.
related to your book, and I just thought of it. So, if anyone is in San Diego, Meet Cute Bookshop, which is a romance bookstore in San Diego, their May book for their queer romance book club is The Prospects. So, if you're in San Diego, go to Meet Cute Bookshop and check out their website for that book club meeting, because that will be very exciting. So, I just had to add that because.
Love Meet Cute. They are a lovely
Yes.
bookstore. I got to talk to Becca a couple days ago, and she's like
Oh, wonderful.
incredible. So
Yeah,
amazing. I
the
appreciate you
best. Oh, of
plugging that.
course. Of course. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Try Reading. If you'd like, you can subscribe or follow, rate the show, write a review, and that way other book lovers can discover these amazing stories. You can follow Try Reading on Instagram and Threads at Try Reading Podcast, and you can find Try Reading wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, you can catch new episodes every other Friday. You can buy books by the Try Reading authors through the bookshop.org link in the Try Reading link tree below. And of course, that includes Katie's marvelous debut. Katie, I want to thank you again for taking the time to join me today. It was so amazing, and I so love talking with you.
Thank you.